was the wrong number.
Tes Vov Iyar, Monday the 4th of May, Dayan Yehoshua Posen. Summary of Hilchus Shmitas Kesofim.
Morning. This morning after the Shir, there's going to be a program here in the Kotel, which I hope many of you will be able to attend. So this is really, for those who aren't going to attend, this is a standalone Shir, the summary of the Halachos Shmitas Kesofim. Those who are able to attend, you'll have a chance to be ma'ayin more in the sugyas, specifically the sugyas relating to Prozbul, which are very geshmaka sugyas. I'd like today, in the time that we have, to give an overview of the halachas and some of the practical ramifications. As we found in many of the shurim over the years, that's often what started in the Gemara, actually in the case of Shmitas Kesofim in the Mishnayos, of practical ramifications with time have evolved, and we have to use the guidance from our poskim how to apply them to modern day scenarios. If we start off with the halacha of Shmitas Kesofim, Shmita itself, as meaning Shmitas Karka, is well known, the prohibitions against doing certain acts on the land of Eretz Yisrael during this year of Shmita, the ramifications, certain payers, whether you're allowed to eat them, vegetables, payers, if they leave, if they come to England, how we have to be cautious. I'm sure you have many shurim on that. The halachas which we're referring to today is the less well-known parts of the mitzvahs of Shmita. There are two specific lavim mentioned in the Torah. In Devarim, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Beis, the Pasuk says, V'zed v'ashmita shomrit kol bal masa yodah yashe yashe b're'ehu lo yigoyis esre'ehu es ochir kikara shmita l'ashem. The Pasuk comes along and tells us that every creditor has to release his hand from claiming money which is owed to him. So this is what's referred to as lo yigoyis. There's a lav in the Torah from claiming money which is owed. And we have to see during the course of the Shir exactly what money this is referring to. That's really the first lav that's related to this issa. The second lav which is related to this issa, which maybe doesn't get as much coverage, is in Pasuk Tes. The Pasuk says, Yishom elecho penyeh dobarim levecho bli'al. You should be careful whether has shon lema yotzei korvo shasa sheva shasa shmitov. Says the Pasuk, there's a lav in the Torah that if a person sees that Shmita is coming, so this Rosh Hashanah is when it comes to this Rosh Hashanah, we'll see Korah Shnas HaShoah, Shnas HaShmita, we learn that's referring to Be'ikah Din, we'll see the Rosh later on, and Be'ikah Din, we learn that Shmita is, the time of Shmita is this Rosh Hashanah, so when this Rosh Hashanah takes effect, it will be the end of the Shmita year, that's when all debts will be eradicated. All debts outstanding, unless certain preventative measures have been taken, all debts outstanding will be eradicated. So the first Pasuk is telling you, Loyigois, once those debts have been eradicated, you're not allowed to claim them. The second Pasuk is telling you, imagine it comes to the summer holidays, and someone comes up to you and asks if they can borrow some money. And you think to yourself, you know what, I actually never written a prosbul before, no one else owes me money, and what happens if I don't get to write a prosbul in time, I'm nervous, I'm worried, you know what, better not. Tell him, you know, I'd rather not, maybe ask someone else. Says the Pasuk, you're over a lav. There's a lav that a person is in breach of if they don't lend money because they're worried about the ramifications of Shmita eradicating that debt. So those are the two Pasukim. The Chinuch explains in Mitzvah Tov Ayin Zayin, that one of the reasons for Shmitas Kesofim is in order that to be mechazik bitochen, and in order that people keep away from geneva and other such activities. Now we'll see when it came to, over the years, how this halacha evolved, we'll see Mitzvah shortly. The love of Shmita is a love, the love of Shmita's character is a love specifically applicable to the lands of Eretz Yisrael. So there's no prohibition whatsoever with you going out and doing your gardening here in England, even though it's the year of Shmita, because the halachas of Shmita's character refer specifically to the land of Eretz Yisrael, which has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. The land of Shmita, the halachas of Shmita's Kesofim is a mitzvah shebaguf, it's a mitzvah on each and every Jewish person. So it's irrelevant of where you live, according to most poskim. The halacha of Shmitas Kesofim is as applicable here in England as it is in Eretz Yisrael. There is a minority opinion that learns that because there's a hekesh between Shmitas Karka and Shmitas Kesofim, it's more of an issue in Eretz Yisrael. Most poskim don't go with that opinion. So if that's the case, What's the halacha? When does it apply? So we said the pasuk says, "Miket shev ashonim." Miket shev ashonim. The Rishonim learn means at the end of the seventh year. At the end of the seventh year is when, coming to the end of now this Rosh Hashanah, any money outstanding, and we'll see exactly what type of chovos it's referring to, any money outstanding at that date gets wiped out. And we'll see the Mishnah exactly what the process is if the malva, if the lover comes along and he wants to claim that money, what a person's required to do. The Rosh, there's a famous Rosh on this halacha, and the Rosh is of the opinion, and this is where the Chumra comes from, that some people were particular to write a Prusbel, which will come to what it is shortly, to write a Prusbel already before last Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh is of the opinion that any money owed prior to last Rosh Hashanah, prior to the beginning of the year of Shemitah, you are not allowed to claim during the year of Shemitah. However, it's important to make this distinction, the debt itself does not get wiped out until the end of Shemitah. So in other words, if the lover would pay it, you wouldn't be mechuyev to say, "I'm sorry, I'm not taking it," because the money is owed, but you're not allowed to go and claim. So it's like a halfway house. He still owes the money, you're not allowed to put in the claim. There's an Isla Yigris. Any money borrowed during the year of Shemitah, the Rosh has got no problem with you claiming during the year of Shemitah. So, the Rosh is of the opinion, if anyone owed money prior to the last Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh is of the opinion, you'd have to write a Prusbel if you intended claiming that money. Most of the Poskim do not pass in like the Rosh, but there are others who are machme to write a Prusbel even before the last Rosh Hashanah. There is a shit of the Urim which we're not going to go into. I encourage you all to stay after us, and Daniel and his younger knights will have plenty to ma'ayin in the shit of the Urim, which is even more interesting shit than the shit of the Rosh, and really plays from a number of different angles. However, we paskin the Maisa that the halacha of Shemitah's Kesafim is at the end of this coming year, at the end of Shnas HaShemitah. On what chovos does the halacha apply? The Mishnayos and Shviyos explain that the chov that is outstanding at the time of Rosh Hashanah is the chov which is due. So, for example, imagine if a person has a mortgage with an Israeli bank. And let's say that Israeli bank didn't write a Prusbel. Right? Now, again, practically, how much they're going to be interested in Hilchos Shemitah might be a separate kasha. But let's say they didn't write a Prusbel. And you're in the middle of the term of this mortgage, and now Shemitah comes along. And the month after Shemitah, you turn around and you think, "Oh, actually, maybe I don't need to make this month's payment." And you call out the bank and you say, "By the way, did the bank write a Prusbel?" And they say, "They don't know what you're talking about." Are you chayim to make the next payment? Now, there's two reasons why you are. Sorry to disappoint. Two reasons why you are. The first reason, which is a very important nekuda, is the halacha of Shemitah is only mashamat. Shemitah only dissolves a debt which is already due. Any money, so for example, if let's say you borrow money for 10 years, if you borrow money for 10 years and it's not yet, and during the course of a 10-year loan, by definition, there will always be a Shemitah, right? So let's say you'd lend money for 10 years, and during the course of that 10-year loan, there's a Shemitah, you don't have to write a Prusbel, you don't need to worry about Shemitah, because the money wasn't yet due. Shemitah only eradicates loans which are already due when Rosh Hashanah, the coming Rosh Hashanah, comes. That's it. So the last year mortgage would have been a problem if not for the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah says that when there's a mashkin, then there's no problem with Shemitah either. Because a mashkin is considered as if the malva is holding the debt in his hand, and therefore there's no problem. Now, seeing as, to my knowledge, most mortgages are given out with a charge on the property, there's a strong case to say that that's considered a mashkin, and there's no problem at all. So if you have a concept of a mashkin, you have the concept of the zman is not yet due, neither of those Shemitah affects. There's another halacha, which we have to see in the Mishnah shortly, which is called Hakufas Chanus. If a person has a credit line in a shop. But before we get to that, I'd like to look at the area, which is probably negia to most people in the room, more than a lot of these other scenarios, is what happens if a person owes you money, and they've paid you with a check, and you haven't yet cashed that check, and it comes to Rosh Hashanah. After Rosh Hashanah, are you allowed to put that check in the bank? Now, to answer this shaila, you first have to understand what is a check. And we've discussed this, I think, in the past in various different... In Yonim, it's come up in various different areas.
In a very few years, there will not be...
That might be, but that's why I'm chapping right this Shemitah. Right? So the concept of a check. Let's understand the shayla. What is the shayla exactly? So when a person pays you with a check, what's actually happened right now, while I'm holding the check in my hand? Right now, I have not yet been paid the money. I haven't even been given anything other than a credit note, which when I give the bank will then put money into my account, which, by the way, also I haven't actually yet physically received the money. Now the bank, instead of owing him, they now owe me. And that's why in a minute we're going to actually look at money in the bank. That's a separate shayla as well. But therefore, in such a scenario, I haven't yet been paid. So the shayla is, when I'm holding a check, is a check considered at least as good as a mashkin? Is it at least as good as a mashkin? We said before that the Mishnayos explain if you're holding on to a mashkin, if you're holding on to someone who wants to borrow money from you, so they give you their watch, and you're holding on to that watch. If you're holding on to the watch, then it's as if you've been given the money. You don't want to keep the watch, you want to trade back in the watch and get paid, but you're holding something in your hand. When you're holding a check, are you holding something in your hand?
Check
can bounce. It's been known to happen. So if Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in Minchas Shlomo, he explains, he paskens, Minchas Shlomo, those who want to look up, Tanina Simkuchov Gimel, he paskens that it's as good as a mashkin. A check in your hand is as good as a mashkin, and therefore you don't need to worry about Shmitah. Rav Moshe Steinbuch in Shuvas Ran Hoggis, Chele Gimel, Simtof Mem Zayin, argues. And he says that since a check, you can't necessarily use it as cash, and as you say, it could bounce, things could go wrong, it's not considered kagavi.
This would only be a check which is payment of a loan. It won't be a check for payment for service.
We'll come to that in a minute. I've definitely been vague, well spotted. I've definitely been vague, because that depends on how you learn the next Mishnah. So there's a big machlokes. So Moshe also weighs in, and Moshe says, since it's illegal to stop a check is like a mashkin. Now here in England, it's not illegal to stop a check. So most poskim, pardon? Don't think so. I mean, as far as I know, it's not illegal to stop a check in England. So therefore, most poskim would pashas understand that if a person had received a check in England, especially if it's a check which has on it only, right, where you can't just go and use it in other places, it's only for you to cash in, most poskim would hold that a check is not considered like a mashkin, and therefore if one has received a check close to Rosh Hashanah and he hasn't written a puzzle, he should consider writing a puzzle. We'll come on to what puzzle is. Now, the Mishnah points out, in Perek Yud Mishnah Aleph, the Mishnah points out that Hakofas Chanus and Schas Soche Einim Hashamt. Hakofas Chanus is when a person has a credit line in a shop, Schas Soche is wages which are owed, that Shmita doesn't take away. And there's a big machlik as why this is. The Bais Yosef understands that the reason why this is because of the nature of a credit line in a shop, at least in those days. And the nature of an open credit line in a shop is that you walk into a shop, you take what you like, you write it down in the book, and one day, whenever it suits you, you come and pay that money. Right? Similarly with Sasoche, it seems to be, with the wages, that there were people who used to work, and whenever it was, they would get paid at some later date. So the Bais Yosef understands that the reason why the Mishnah says Hakovas Chanus is not affected by Shemitah is because for all intents and purposes, the money is not yet due. There's no particular time when you owe the money. However, if you would have a shop, where you have a credit line in a shop, and when you reach a certain limit, they say, right, they send you an invoice, they say, right, you now reached your £100 limit, please pay, then says the Bais Yosef very clearly, and then the Shemitah, that would be a debt. And once that's a debt, Shemitah will take effect. So, most shops nowadays don't have, to my knowledge, an open credit line as long as you want to pay whenever you fancy. So therefore, it would definitely be in the interest of any shop who has a credit line who has a book, but asks people to pay when it gets to a certain stage, to be concerned about Shmitas Ksofim. There are Rishonim, who the Bach brings down Tosis in the Run, who have a different understanding. This was Yanki, this was your point. They have an understanding that the reason why the Mishnah says Hakovas Chanus is because only Shmita is applicable to money owed from a debt. A debt meaning I lend somebody money or an item which they're meant to replace like for like. That is what Shmita applies to. But if I go and buy something in a shop and now I owe the money for the item which I bought, that's not a debt which comes about through a loan, and therefore Shmita is not applicable to it. Now, according to these Rishonim, according to these Rishonim, then even if you have a credit line which, where the money is due on a certain date, and now the shop sends out an invoice saying, right, you know, you owe us for the £100 which you spent in our shop, according to those Rishonim, Shmita will still not affect it because it doesn't originate from a loan. So this is a very different, two different ways of learning, and therefore this would also answer your earlier Shaila, because depending how you learn this, Machlekes will apply in how you learn that. What's with money in an Israeli bank? What's with money with an Israeli bank? Now, money in an Israeli bank, if I've invested money in an Israeli bank, I am the malva. I am the one who has lent the money to the bank. So what happens at the end of Rosh Hashanah, if I haven't written a prosbul, am I allowed to actually go to the bank and ask them to pay me money? And this itself is also discussed by all the poskim, and many of them hold that it's a problem. If you haven't written a prosbul and you have money in an Israeli bank, then you're not allowed to claim the money. Why? Because if you think, what does it mean, money in the bank? It's not, as we've learned the hard way over the last few years, it's not my note sitting in a safety deposit box, and therefore it's mamash mine. I have lent the money to the bank, and the bank is going to pay me back other money, hopefully. So if that's the case, it's a halvah. And if it's a halvah, then Shmita would apply. So anyone with an Israeli bank account is encouraged to write a prosbul. And
it's hard to see.
It's
just
a facility. No. Pardon? Think about it. Why are they paying you interest?
Who says they're paying you interest?
Well, if they're not, you should change banks.
But
money invested in the bank. You are giving them money to lend on. They use your money. They lend it to other people at a higher rate than what they're paying you. And that's how the whole banking system works, or should work. Right, so,
limited company
saves
a person.
Pardon?
A limited company saves a person.
That you are owed money.
By limited company, it's a person.
Okay, we discussed this before, whether the halacha recognizes a limited company or not. But either way, you have a debt. Someone owes you money. Something owes you money. All debts get wiped out that are owed by a loiv. Now the question is, what happens if they're owed? What happens if the malva is a mosa? I answer before I don't lose focus. 1 second. If you have money in an Israeli bank, there's another point to be aware of. Now, when it comes to writing a prosbul, which we'll see in a minute exactly what that is, when it comes to writing a prosbul, you have to make sure that your prosbul is written before Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. Right? They're 2 hours ahead of us. If you write a prosbul before Rosh Hashanah here in England, but it's already Rosh Hashanah there in Eretz Yisrael, that debt has already been wiped out. Right, so it's worth making sure you write the prosbul early. However, when you come to prosbul, you'll see not too early, because any money borrowed or due after the writing of the prosbul are not helped by the writing of the prosbul.
The bank is not a person. The bank is, we don't know who the bank is.
So, well, we if
because it's still apply with
that's what I said to you. Most places can say they apply still to a bank. Most posts can say that it applies still to an Israeli bank. Each of these, in order, by the way, you could have a half-hour share on, but I just want to try and cover the pardon? No problem with God. Because the Torah is speaking about a halvah between two yidden. So that's a shayla. How do you define a bank? What makes a bank a Jewish bank? It's a ribbish shayla as well. When's there a problem of ribbish with a bank? So that depends. If it's majority owned by yidden, or it's a controlling interest of yidden, there's certain classifications.
The bank could be owned by a goy too.
So if it's owned by a goy, it's not a problem.
You don't know.
Okay, bank to me, is your pastor is okay. Okay, so that would be a shayla. If one wants to know, one has money in an Israeli bank, one wants to ascertain, is it a Jewish bank or not, you have to ask a shayla. In the meanwhile, I want to read you out.
You're not sure. It's not like I'm making a brothel of a Torah.
Exactly. You haven't lost anything by writing a prosbul for all of your debts in any case. But I want to read you out a Mishnah, because really we should have read this out a little early on in the Shir. The Mishnah says like this. What happens? A debt. Someone owes me £100. I didn't write a prosbul. It comes up to Rosh Hashanah, and they come up to me with the money in their hand and say, I'm really sorry. I meant to pay it to you before Yom Tov. I didn't get around to it. Here, can I pay you the money? Says the Mishnah, Mishnah Shvi'is per Yud Pasuches, Mishnah Ches. Hamach Sichoy b'Shvi'is, Yoyim Aloyim Mesham Atani, the Malva has to say to the Loiva, the one who's borrowed the money, is told by the one who has lent it to him, that I'm sorry, I'm not claiming that money anymore, that debt's been wiped out. Omal Loi Afal Bikain, if the Loiva says to the Malva, you know what, even though it's been wiped out, I want to do the honourable thing, I want to pay it to you nonetheless, then he couple with menu, he's allowed to receive it. Shenema v'zedva ha-shmitzah, And then the Mishnah lists other such similar scenarios. So the Mishnah tells you there's a little, almost a charade that the Mishnah is outlining here, but it's not, because it's real. At any point in time, one could pause. Is that if the laborer comes along and wants to pay, you have to say, I'm sorry, I can't take it. I didn't write a principal, and I can't take the money. If he says, I want to pay nevertheless, then you're allowed to accept it. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan brings down, in answer to some of your shaylas, that if a chayv, if a person is chayv money to Hekdush, if a person owes money to Hekdush, then Shmita's Kesofim doesn't apply. If the person who has lent money is Hekdush or a Moisad, then Shmita's Kesofim doesn't apply. So some people might be very disappointed to hear this. But for example, if a person were to owe school fees, and the school would not write a prosbul, Aruch HaShulchan paskens, since the malva is not an individual, not the loiva, since the malva is not an individual, therefore, Shmita's Kesofim does not apply. So the school, even if they didn't write a prosbul, or the shul, any outstanding shul fees, even if they didn't write a...
Pardon?
What do you
mean?
Why is that? Okay, again, but most posting paskin, not like those we've shown you, most posting paskin, any money outstanding, once it's been crystallized as money outstanding, even if it originated from rental or from purchase or anything else, Shmita still applies to. There was a Das Yochid of a few Rishonim which you mentioned, which the Bach brings, who says that the reason for Hakovas Chanus is because it didn't originate with a loan. But we don't paskin like that. Pashas, we paskin that Zokva Lob Milva, which is the Loshon used in the Gemara, Zokva Lob Milva, once a loan has been, any outstanding money has been crystallized, then that money now can be affected by Shmita. The same as we discussed before the Gabi Ribbs.
Rent
as well. Once the rent is due, and you've served...
And you didn't pay you, you're finished.
If you haven't written a prosbul, in theory. Again, all of this, Rabbi Sai...
So the school governors do not have to write a prosbul.
Correct.
So
Aruch HaTzavach HaShulchan Pastens.
So surely the same would apply with the bank.
It's the other way around. There, the malva, the individual, has lent to the bank. If you owe the bank money, then yes. If you owe them bank money, then possibly be the same. But if you as an individual have lent money to the bank, which is what you do when you have an account, you deposit and deposit account, then you're an individual. So you, the malver, still have a debt, which is wiped out.
What about if you've got, for example, Israeli government bonds?
So if Israeli government bonds, so therefore... No, but again, you're the individual at the malver. So that could be a problem. Except holding the bond might be considered some kind of mashma. I don't know enough about bonds to know how it works exactly. But that possibly could be more of a mashma. Now, basically, I want to move on to prosbul. Right? Yes, my time has started here. Okay, let's move on to prosbul. Let's move on to understanding what prosbul is and how it works and what the limitations of it are. What we've been discussing till now is the halachas of Shmita as they applied when Shmita was a din d'oraisa. And possibly some of them would apply as well if Shmita's a din d'rabbanan as well, depending on how time progressed. And Gemara in Gittin, Daf Lamed Vav, explains, and those of you who are staying with Hashem will learn it in more arichas, the Gemara explains that Shtei Shmita, the Pasuk, is there's a hekesh between the two different Shmitas, Shmita's Karka and Shmita's Ksofim, and it says the Gemara that as long as Shmita's Karka applies Minatera, Shmita's Ksofim applies Minatera. When Shmita's Karka stops applying Minatera, Shmita's Ksofim stops applying Minatera. And the halacha is, Pashtus, according to most Shittas, that Shmita's Karka stops applying Minatera when Yovel stops being known. So nowadays, where we do not have the minhag of Noel, we do not keep Yovel anymore. So therefore, since we don't keep Yovel, Shmita's Karka in Eretz Yisrael, according to most opinions, is now downgraded to a drabonon. Still important to be kept, but it's a drabonon. Therefore, Shmita's Ksofim as well is downgraded to a drabonon. That's how most Rishonim, most Achonim learn. There's a Ramban who learns it's Doraisa. But most opinions hold that Shmita's Ksofim nowadays is a drabonon. The Gemara explains, and like I say, again, you'll learn it more arichos because I'm not doing justice to the Gemara now at all. But the Gemara explains, Hillel says, that there was a phenomenon in his generation where people stopped lending money when it came close to the time of Shmita. Because they were worried. You hear all these things, bank accounts and credit lines and, you know, what do we need it for? So therefore people were worried, if this is the case and we lend money and we're not going to get paid back, then we don't need the hassle. You know what, better not to lend. Therefore, said Hillel realized that, think what's going on here. And interesting, even though we hold that Shmita's Ksofim nowadays is only Drabonon, most of the opinions hold that if a person, even today, doesn't lend money close to this Rosh Hashanah because he's worried that Schmidt is going to be Meshamut, he's worried that Schmidt is going to eradicate the debt, he's over on the Lav Deiraisa. Which is very interesting. That means you're holding that Schmitter's Ksofen doesn't apply. Right? Schmitter's Ksofen, Schmitter won't take away Minat Torah, the debt. But if you're not lending money because you're worried about Schmitter, that itself you're over the Lav Deiraisa. And one of the proofs they bring for this is from this Gemara. Because Hillel was a Zman Bayis Sheni, and Zman Bayis Sheni, they weren't keeping the halachas of Yovel anymore. And therefore, as we explained, Shmitz's Sofim is downgraded to Drabonon. And yet, Hillel said, we've got to make a takana here, we've got to organize something, because people are over on the Lav. What do you mean the Lav? If Shmitz's Sofim is Drabonon, then the Lav should also be Drabonon. So the Meforishim explained, we see from here, that no, the Lav, even today, this year, if a person wouldn't lend money when he comes close to Rosh Hashanah, because he's worried about Shmitzah, he'll be over the Lav. So what was Hillel Masakin? Hillel was Masakin a document called a Prusbul. A document called a Prusbul where a person writes down that he's handing over his debts, he writes down a shtar in front of Bezdin. Again, not, I definitely don't want to go into exactly the Londres of Prusbul now because I want you to stay behind and hear more barichas, how it works, what does work, where it doesn't work, whether it's working deraisa, whether it's working drabonon, whether it's giving over your debt to Bezdin, whether it's hefke, Bezdin, hefke, that's all to be discovered. But upon him, this document Prusbul was set up where a person writes down a shtar, he's meant to write it down in front of a Bezdin. There's machlekes between the Mechaba and Ramah, between the Rambam and other Rishonim, whether this Bezdin is meant to be a Bezdin Choshev. Bezdin Choshev meaning the Gedolim of the city, people who have certain power, or whether it can be any Rabbonim or Dayonim. And part of the machlekes is dependent on how you learn the Sugya. If you learn the Prusbul's working with Hefke, Bezdin Hefke, which you'll discover, then Bezdin, potentially even nowadays, that you're signing the Prusbul in front of, have to be a Bezdin who have the power close to Hefke, Bezdin Hefke. They have to have some kinds of power. If you hold the Prusbul as just a document which Chazal and the Sakan using whatever Mahalich they were Masakan, then you can write it today and it's not a problem. A Prusbul is a shtar which works only for debts which were already due at the time of the writing of the Prusbul. So therefore, don't be too excited and write it already today because you're worried, you know, who knows what's going to be later on in the year, there's someone, Elul, you get very, very distracted. So therefore, write the Prusbul already now because any money which would come due between now and Rosh Hashanah would not be affected by that Prusbul. Now, we've only got a few minutes left. It's not a Brachah Batzalah, but in my experience, if somebody would write a Prusbul today, the chances of them writing another one before Rosh Hashanah are probably slim. So it only works, this Prusbul works for the debt due today, and then you can write another one, and you can write as many as you like, but practically speaking, most people don't write more than one. So if you're writing one, you should do it as close to Rosh Hashanah as possible, but bear in mind, like we said before, that if you've got money sitting in a bank in Eretz Yisrael, then you have to make sure you've written it before Yom Tov takes effect in Eretz Yisrael, because otherwise it could be it won't work. I do want to put in a big disclaimer. Now this disclaimer is not coming to say that you shouldn't stay to learn Torah Lishma as to understanding the sugya of Shmitz's Ksofen and Prusbul. However, everything we said till now, how practical is it today? Toshi 9, hey, if Lemaisa, a person would come along and be owed money, and it comes now to the time when the money is due, and it hasn't yet been paid, and you're getting nervous, and it comes to Rosh Hashanah, and you don't get to write a Prusbul. Matz Rosh Hashanah, they come to you, and they say, I want to pay. Or you know what, they don't even come to you. You want to pick up the phone and call them and say, you know, we had an agreement, you were meant to pay me back the loan, and you haven't paid me back the loan. What's the halacha? Halacha l'maisa, nowadays, Shmitz's Ksofen. If a person does not write a Prusbul, does he have a problem? Now, the Ramah already brings down, that Minig Ashkenaz, the Ramah brings down that many of his generation weren't Geris Bechlal. The Mechaba says in Simon Samozai, Chosh Mishu, Simon Samozai, Shmitz's Ksofen only applies when Yovel is kept. Chazal Masakin, Shmitz's Ksofen, in order that we still keep it and we're still familiar with our lochas. Says the Ramah, Hagar, Kainu askamus apoiskin, aber yesh oimim to ein schmitten heges bis manase. Venere shalem somchu be medine is elu, she ein neugin den schmitte klau bis manase. Ba minu koye neugin a zain bis manarosh. So the Ramah brings down that Minik Ashkenaz, they weren't going with Shvitas Ksofim. They didn't keep Shvitas Ksofim, they didn't write principle, they weren't worried about it. And the Ramah says, Lamaisa, he brings different reasons for the Minik, but he says, and a person should really write a principle. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan takes mamish an extreme perspective. The Aruch HaShulchan says that if you look at the situation today, and you realize that many, many people do not write a prosbul, many people possibly never even heard of what a prosbul is. And if you bear in mind that, as we said before, that today if a person would hear a shir and realize that, do you know if your money is outstanding when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and you haven't written a prosbul, then you won't be able to claim that money. And he might start getting nervous, oh, prosbul, not prosbul, what do I need it for? Better not to lend. We established already, even Bizman HaZeh, you'd still be over the lav. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, don't tell me that people in this generation are on a higher madriga than they were in the generation of Hillel HaZaken. And in the time of Hillel HaZaken, Hillel said that you have to make a takana of a prosbul in order to prevent people being over the lav. And nowadays, as the Ramah brings down, many people don't write a prosbul. Therefore, says the Aruch HaShulchan, it must be that the takana of Shemitah Ksofim Drabonon doesn't apply anymore. Because if you say that it applies and that results in people being over the lav, then Chazal would never want such a thing. So it's a massive, it's a chiddush. But the Maaseh, the Aruch HaShulchan says that if a person doesn't write the prosbul nowadays, he does not need to worry. Rav Moshe takes a different approach. Rav Moshe Feinstein takes an approach that since nowadays everybody knows that there's a concept of Shmita, and everyone knows that you're meant to write a prosbul, when you lend money to someone, it's as if there's an unspoken term and condition that Shmita doesn't affect this debt. Now again, that's a different gemara, you have to learn how such a tanai works, but as if you made such a tanai. The bottom line is that most poskim paskin, that if a person would not write a prosbul, he's still entitled to claim his debt. And I'll conclude with the Divrei Geonim. Divrei Geonim Sum Kuvtes Paskins Alocha, that a loiva is not even entitled to say kimli, not to pay the money. Normally, there's our concept in Chosh Misha, which we covered a number of times. That if money that if a person is muchzik in money, if a person is holding on to money and someone's making claim against him, and there's a machlokes if he's chayav to pay or not chayav to pay, as he's muchzik using the principle of mutzim chaveri olav araya, he can turn out and say, prove to me that Alocha is not like the Mechaber, or like the Ramot, or whichever established it is. That's interesting phenomena in Hilchos Chosh Mishot that doesn't apply in other areas of Shulchan Aruch. A person who's knowing nothing like Minik Ashkenaz, he's not going to say, but the Mechaber says like this. You keep like the Ramot, and vice versa. When it comes to Chosh Mishot, it's an exception because of Amitzim Chavir Arayim. However, that's only when the Shitta is a firmly established Shitta. The Divrei Geonim bring down that Bizman HaZeh, it's accepted in Klal Yisrael that even though, and let me be very clear on this, Lechachila he brings down, Yiri Shemayim should make sure they write a prosbul. But if a person would not write a prosbul, and then money would be due, or money was due before, and now Rosh Hashanah comes along, Halacha LaMaisa, all the places from across the board, Paskin, that you're still entitled to claim that money. However, again, I'll finish up the words that Lechachila, it's brought down that Yiri Shemayim should be makbid. And in fact, some Nachoinim learn, that which it says in the Ramah, that at the time of the Rosh, they didn't keep Shudas Ksofim, but you should write a prosbul. Some of the Mephoreshim learn that means that the Minig Ashkenaz was, but the Aruch HaShulchan brings down, and literally they did write a prosbul. So they bring down that means that the Minig is that we're not going to Shudas Ksofim, but we do keep up the Minig of writing a prosbul. So now, if anything goes wrong, you can't then say, I'm not paying the debt, and the mother's entitled to be going to debt, but this minig that Chilo was masakin of writing a prosbul, that is still minig Yisrael, Kadoshim, and that the owner is still encouraged to do. I advise you all to stay. We've really not done the chalal justice to the sugya.
Just first of all, to thank you.